Hello everyone, Larry DuBois here, and we are doing another video. It has been a while, but we're going to record a video. It's called Witnessing in the Checkout Line, and it's about our active evangelism, individual one-on-one witnessing. This is radio broadcast episode number 78, and we will have it on the First Love Radio this weekend. Hopefully I'll get this done and put it up there for Saturday and Sunday morning. I have a half-hour slot. You can always listen on my web page there, sharingyourfaithradio.com. That will give you all my broadcasts, and I'm going to post it on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. One of the things is, you know, when we do these how-to type videos, it isn't meant to instruct you to do a copycat. You know, the best witnessing, of course, is you as a believer in Christ praying to Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to guide you, and to provide everything you need to be a faithful witness for Him. And so you can't really teach that. It just comes, I was going to say naturally, I should say supernaturally. However, there are times when we can give some practical direction and instruction and ideas. There's a lot of great ideas out there. But I ran across this one, and how to witness in the checkout line or the check stand. I ran across this actually inadvertently. It wasn't like I had planned to say, hey, I want to witness in the grocery store, and this is what I'm going to do. I was in line one day, here's what happened, and there was a lady ahead of me, and I don't know what the situation was, if it was the checker and the store that was tying our time up. But inevitably, you always seem, you're going to get behind someone that's very slow. You always pick the slowest line. And you go to switch lines, and then that one's the slowest. It's like that. But what happened was, it might have been the lady, but I was sort of just standing there and waiting. I didn't say nothing. And it took quite a while. Well, finally, the lady, the customer, she turned to me and she says, wow, thank you. You got a lot of patience. And I just sort of blurted out, you know, I said, well, you know, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And before I could explain, she goes, oh, I thought it was just love, joy, and peace. Well, it was evident that she was a believer, or else at very least she had read the passage. She was familiar with the passage. And then I told her, I go, no, it actually says, you know, there's more manifestations and patience or self-control is one of them. So, you know, all glory goes to God. Well, that was about the extent of the conversation. But then it happened more than a few times. Now, this is a good thing, because I tend to be very impatient generally. I can be kind of snotty, actually, if you were to let me go. Given myself to my own devices, I could be a very cranky old man in the checkout line if I'm not getting my own way. You know how that goes. But anyway, first of all, when you ever go out in public, and you're always going to be prepared to be witnessing, and when it's convenient, when it's not. But obviously, be prayed up. That should go without saying. And of course, you'll get a line eventually, or it may not even be in the checkout line. You may be waiting for some other issue like customer service. But it won't take long before we live in an impatient world, and it won't take long before, if you're very patient in a situation like that, it's going to stand out, even to the point where people will comment. And so I've had customers comment, I've had workers comment. Of course, we want to give glory to God first and foremost. We don't want to take the credit for it, but we have to be prayed up, and we have to be basically on our best Christian behavior. You know, we want to keep silent. We don't want to make any snide remarks. We don't want to, you know, have any kind of frustration or anger, you know, seeping out of our person. Our countenance and our body language should be very neutral. In fact, if you can work up a smile or just a look of contentment, you know, then of course that's going to go a long way. And one of the verses we're going to look at, first verse, of course, however, I have it up here. The fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5 there, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So self-control is a good long-suffering. That could be considered patience as well. And so that's that verse. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go to another verse here. It's found in, let's see, do I have it? Yeah, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And so we are called to let our good works be known, and that could be one of them. So anyway, as you're in a checkout line or in the store, you know, like I mentioned, you're going to have a checker or a person causing delay. And so it's your opening to share Christ. Now, the other thing I want to share too, of course, and you may share this with the people. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And so it does sound sort of fantastic, you know, that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have the Father, we have the Son. It says they're going to make our home. They're going to make their home in us, inside of us. You know, so you could tell somebody, "God's living inside me." Well, they're going to think you're a wacko, you know. I remember a time when my niece Laura, way many years ago, we were visiting my grandma's grave site in Tacoma, Washington. Anyway, she came with me and my mom, and she was about 12 then or so. And I remember looking over the grave sites, you know, they have all those headstones. And I said, "Laura, there's going to come a day when all of these graves are going to open up and people are going to come out of them. And they're basically going to float up to heaven," or, you know, and I mean, I went on and I'm describing, you know, basically, you know, the end of days there, the resurrection. And the more I talked to her about it and using the cemetery as a backdrop for visual, I realized we Christians, we believe in some crazy stuff. If you think about it, it sounds perfectly normal to us now, but to the unbeliever, it may sound a little weird. Now, so we don't want to come across as a goof, you know, we want to be taken seriously. And so it is important, I think, to articulate the truth. When we get to the point where we're going to share about Christ and open it up, we have to be using wisdom and, ask God to help us. Okay, so in James, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So again, going back to don't get angry at the situation, but, you know, be careful to listen and be slow to speak. Consider what you're going to say. And, you know, one of the things that happened to me years ago, I was in my workplace and I was, for the most part, a brand new believer. And prior to coming to Christ, I had done a lot of drugs. I had done a lot of mescaline and LSD, psychedelic drugs. I did all kinds of crazy things. Now, I went to this man, and I'll try to make this a short testimony. It could be very lengthy what all happened that day, but I complained of some headaches. I was having these reoccurring headaches, and also I had these flashbacks or trails. You know, if it was in the dark and somebody lit a candle, I would see these what we called trails. It was like residue left over from the old days, and I hadn't taken any drugs in years. And I was telling him all this, and he said, "Well, you know, let's pray." And so he led me through this prayer. He called it a renunciation prayer. Now, I don't necessarily think that's necessary for everyone, but it does say that we have renounced the hidden things of shame. There is some sort of idea that our sins are forgiven, but for some reason I was having this baggage, if you want to call it that, bringing this baggage into my walk with Christ. Well, anyway, he went through the series of confession and prayers, and one of the things that came to mind at the time that I would have never thought of as drugs is I had visited a magic shop. And I I had smoked some of this herbal stuff and whatnot. Well, anyway, when I thought of that, I renounced that. It was like my head was cracked by a chiropractor. I mean, it, you know, just went, you know, it was really weird. I thought, what was that, you know? And well, anyway, after all that was done, then, of course, my headaches went away. That's a, you know, proof in the pudding there. But my headaches went away. I never suffered with any of those flashbacks or anything anymore. Well, right after this, this lady at work comes up to me and she says, Larry, I have to ask you, what's happened to you? Your face is so much softer. You don't have this, you know, scowl. She goes, I can't explain it, but certainly there's something different about you. Well, I don't know if she thought I had used some special cold cream or something to make my face better. She probably wanted some. But, well, what do? I blurt out, oh, yeah, well, I was being attacked by witchcraft spirits and, you know, Jesus delivered me. And I was, I blew her out of the water, I'm sure. And she probably thought, wow, sorry I asked, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable what she couldn't deny the change, but then it was hard for her to really accept my testimony because it was so outlandish. And so we have a tendency to be compulsive and to blurt out things. We want to be able to speak the truth in love, but articulate. It says, let the scripture, I didn't write it down for today, but I just thought about it. In Peter, it says, you know, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. And so we're always to be ready and to give an answer. So anyway, that was kind of a funny story. So we have to be able to articulate a way that the truth. So somebody says, you know, the patience, you have a lot of patience. Well, I went right to the fruit of the Spirit there. Well, if that gal hadn't been familiar with that passage, she would have wondered, what does that mean, fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, it gives you a chance to explain it and just explain that, you know, believers have the advantage of being groomed in the character of Christ, and we are to reflect that, and it's done by His Spirit. It's not by our own efforts, and that is a result. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You could go on that road, but ask the Lord to help you. It's not going to be the same every time, like a canned presentation or anything like that. But anyway, so it is a combination of verbalization and good works. It's sort of a modern-day equivalent of a miracle. Remember in the early church, there was miracles going on left and right, people being healed and everything else. And that was to be bring confirmation to what they said to be authentic from God. Well, I still believe that God can do miracles today, but those aren't prevalent, you know, like on an everyday basis. And so what we can use as an equivalent is our testimony. And a miracle that happens in our life, how we live, how we are changed, that can give credence to what we say about God, correct? I mean, let's face it, if we blow off at the handle, then our testimony isn't going to hold very much weight. You know, they're not going to listen to us. They're going to think we're hypocrites and, you know, everything else. So, you know, eventually you'll get into the new birth or the, you know, as far as the Lord will take you in that conversation. A couple more scriptures here. They're just found in Proverbs 16:32. It says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And also in Proverbs 25:28, whoever has no rule over his own spirit, like a city broken down without walls. And there's another one that says something to the effect that basically a man, a righteous man that falters in a day of controversy is unstable or something to that effect. It's basically like a murky spring or something. So we want to have the ability to live out our life in Christ and that it's a genuine thing. One more quick story. I remember one time I was in Oakland at the time at the SOS house, and I'd walk down to the post office, and I was waiting to get waited on at the counter, and it was like 10 after 8 when they opened, and I was just waiting patiently, and the lady comes out, and she goes, oh, I didn't know you were here. Most people yell at me, you know, like, get out of the back. It's time to open. Come on out. and you should have hollered at me. And then she goes, but most people really yell and they're mean. And then she looked, and I forgot I was wearing this Christian shirt with verses on it or something. And she looked at that and she goes, oh, well, I should have known why you didn't holler out at me. You're a Christian. Well, I got to thinking, wonder if I would have hollered at mean things at her. And then she saw that shirt. It was like, ooh, you know, that's why sometimes it's not good to, you know, put like bumper stickers on your car about Jesus and then you run people over or something. Anyway, that's it, my friends. Hope that helps. And until our next video, God bless you, and get out there and be a witness for Christ. And it's very exciting. All righty. God bless you.